Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. I'm excited about Ed Yordan being back on the show. As always, Ed's an outstanding guy. He's the author of Bite Wars, as well as a couple of dozen other books, which has sold something under 10 million copies around the world. And Ed is one of our technology experts. He's a member of the Computer Hall of Fame, and he's a member of our Brain Trust. And I wanted him to join us and talk to us about this worm, this new worm, this blaster worm, or the has a number of other names, which we'll mention in just a minute, and get Ed's thoughts on it. Ed, welcome back to the show.
I'm glad to be back.
It's good to have you back. Ed, this worm that I'm going to get you to define for us in just a minute was actually identified to us, in a way it was identified in the beginning, not by so much that here's the worm, but here's where the breach in the Windows operating system is that a worm could get into. That's kind of what Microsoft announced a couple of months ago, didn't they?
Well, it was back in the middle of July, I think July 16th. And then, interestingly, the Homeland Security Department put out another warning at the end of the month saying that this was a fairly serious flaw or vulnerability that they'd found that they expected would be exploited sooner or later, and now it's come along. So everybody was given fair warning, but the typical thing with these kinds of worms and viruses is that the large companies and most of the large government agencies take appropriate protective action, but a lot of the small businesses and people at home, especially people with these high-speed, always-on connections to the Internet, don't even hear about it or they don't pay attention to it, so they end up being the ones that get hit by it when it finally does come out.
Okay, folks, this system, according to the news that I have, Ed, this system affects Windows XP users, Windows 2000, and Windows NT 4.0. Now,
right.
I don't know if there are more than that, but why don't you tell us what a worm is?
Well, it's a small program either developed by teenage pranksters or sometimes more serious people that will try to move around from one computer to another. The ones that we've seen and heard about most often over the last couple of years take advantage of email. You know, we're busily sending millions and billions of email messages to one another, and these things kind of come along for the ride.
What we call the I Love You virus, that kind of thing?
Yeah, and the Anna Kournikova virus. There were a bunch of them.
And those operated off of your address books, right?
Right.
It replicated an email. It got into your system, found your address book on your typically on Outlook, and it emailed to all of a note from you, including the virus that this thing created, and to all of the members of your address book, and then those people who were dumb enough to open up the attachment. That's the difference, isn't it, Ed? In those cases, somebody had to do something. Either, you know, they unintentional or just maybe they just weren't paying attention. They had to actually help the worm, the virus. In this
That's
case,
right.
The worm didn't
yeah, usually
need a lot
it was,
of help.
It was a tempting message. There was one indicating that it was going to be a picture of Anna Kournikova.
Right.
The first one just said, I love you. And, you know, who amongst us would not open such a message?
Absolutely.
And so, as you say, it exploited that kind of casual trust
but it took a partner on the end of the where the computer was to help them. The worm is different, isn't it?
This one is. Yeah, this one is making its own attempt to find an open port in your computer. It's not traveling by email, and it's not asking for help. Doesn't need you to participate at all.
Right.
It then replicates itself and then starts spreading to more computers. So this one is a little bit different in the sense that you might not even see it. You don't have to help it along, and you might not even be aware in some cases that it's even going on.
Apparently the only way to tell if it's coming in to your computer if your computer is has become a slave, so to speak. I think that's what they call it. Is if you're not using the computer, but it's hooked up to your DSL, and you can see the little light blinking, even though you're not using it. Now, Ed, I don't have much of a life, but it's a little bit more than watching my DSL light blink.
And most of us don't. The other thing is, if you notice your computer has slowed down considerably to a crawl, or you can't even get it to do anything at all when it used to be very responsive.
What about if you get a notice that you're running out of virtual memory?
That's another indication. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you might simply go to the Microsoft website and download the patch and run some virus checking software to see whether you've been infected. Because what has happened with several of these computers is that they've been infected and nothing immediately happened. Right now, what it's doing is spreading all around in anticipation of a massive attack on Saturday. I think it is on August 16th.
Uh huh.
On the Microsoft website that actually provides the patch for this security flaw.
Right.
And then it'll come back. I think it's going to attack every day from August 16th through the end of the month, and then it'll come back once a month through the end of the year.
When you say attack, what does that mean?
Well, what it'll do is on all of the hundreds of thousands of computers that it's managed to infect, it will start bombarding or sending massive amounts of just junk messages to this one Microsoft website, which is normally used as a resource by all of us to download patches. And unless Microsoft is able to find some way of countering this, what it's trying to do is simply shut it down and make it inaccessible to all of us.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is a form of terrorism. I mean, fundamentally, terrorism in its essence is chaos.
Yeah, but this is a very mild form. I mean, it really ought to be a wake-up call.
So far, it is.
Well, that's my point, that there have been enough studies indicating that if somebody was serious about this, they could take down the whole country. And if people are interested, let me offer a reference.
Okay.
Go to the computerworld.com website and just do a search on a phrase, black ice.
Okay.
Two words, black ice. And you'll pull up an article that was published in Computer World 2 days ago. And it's also the subject of a book by the same fellow, Dan Burton. Black ice was a simulation that was run by the government in anticipation of terrorist attacks on the 2000 Salt Lake City Winter Olympics.
Ed, hold on to that thought. We got to take a break, folks. We're gonna mention that that link again, and then we're gonna find out what you have to do to get the patch, and maybe to rid yourself of this worm if you already have it. You very well may. 20 after, stay with us. Can you?
When you wake up in the morning.
We're back. 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Ed Jordan is our guest. The last book that I know of, at least, is called Bite Wars. Ed, is that the last one?
That's the last one at the moment, yeah.
When's the next one coming out?
I've got a new edition of my Death March book coming out toward the end of this year, and then we'll see what comes after that.
All right. Your website is jordan.com, jordon.com, right?
That's right, yeah.
Now, they can find out about that book, Bite Wars, and the other books there, as well as in bookstores and on Amazon, that sort of thing?
Absolutely, yeah. They're all there.
Ed Jordan, ladies and gentlemen, Jordon. There's a tremendous amount of information on Ed's website that he gives you, just like I do on my website. A lot of free articles, resources, links that you can find there. He's an outstanding resource, technology resource, not only for us, but for the world. And Ed, I appreciate you making that information available. Give us that website again now, where the black ice story is.
You want to go to computerworld.com. It's one of the industry trade magazines or newspapers. And ironically, just a couple days ago, they ran an article by one of their reporters, a fellow by the name of Dan Burton, called Black Ice, which is also the title of a new book that he's just come out with.
Uh-huh.
And that, in turn, was also the code name that was given to a, a cyber terrorism simulation test that was done a couple of years ago for the Salt Lake City Winter Olympics. And what they found was that a small group of dedicated professionals, not these teenage hackers, but some really serious people, could do far more than just infecting a couple hundred thousand computers, you know, with an annoying worm like the one that we're talking about.
Right.
They could literally bring down the country's telecommunication system, banking system, utility system, mm-hmm. As well as the whole internet.
Now, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say. So this current thing should just be a wake up call to all of us that sooner or later somebody's going to try to do this on a more serious basis.
Right.
And if we haven't kept all of our patches up to date, it could really be pretty bad.
Well, see, most people don't even know what a patch is. They don't know what they don't know they need one, and it's not that they're ignorant. It's just that this is new to them. I mean, this is fairly new stuff to most of us, and because frankly, you know, prior to this last situation, I'd never downloaded a patch before. Now, one thing that happened though, Ed, before I got the patch for my I've got an IBM T30 with Windows XP in it, and I love it. But before I got the patch, I noticed that my computer was telling me that it needed more virtual memory. So I wonder if maybe I got infected before I actually was able to get the patch downloaded. And so my question to you now is, how do I get rid of this thing if I have it?
Well, the best thing for everybody to do is to subscribe to one of the virus or security services,
right?
Because they'll give you very specific instructions, and then put you on a list for continuous updates. Because you know, once you get past this one that we're talking about today, there'll be another one next
right.
week.
Right. I subscribe to those too, but I wonder if maybe this thing got to me before they knew what it was.
Possibly, although I don't know which one you subscribe to. The one I'm looking at right now is McAfee.com.
Which one do you recommend? You recommend McAfee or Norton?
They're both pretty much equally, you know, equally good. Just take
I keep
your
getting
pick.
That report. Most people just say that either one of them is one's as good as the other.
Yeah. I don't really have a strong preference. So go to www.norton.com or McAfee, McAfee.com. And the McAfee website has some very specific and fairly detailed instructions on how to remove it once you've been infected. It's several paragraphs of specific instructions. So the best thing to do is get on some other computer if you can't operate your own and go to one of those websites. And, you know, they've got pretty specific instructions on how to get past this one.
But in the meantime,
but then, like I say, you really ought to get on a regular service so that you get the advance warning
right.
and then take it seriously.
Right. And then... What you need to do is go to Microsoft. And the last time I looked, they, on the top right of Microsoft.com homepage was a link to the information about this particular worm, and a link to being able to download the patch.
Right.
Now, what is this thing going? I noticed that there are only three systems: the XP, the 2000, and the NT4 that were affected. Is there any particular reason why not 95 and 98?
I think probably the kids who are doing these viruses and worms figure that those are sufficiently old and uninteresting that they're not even worth attacking at this point.
Could it also be that these are all newer systems, newer operating systems, that these would be more likely to be on the most important computers and where they could do the most damage, the most significant damage?
Well, you know, that could be a rationale, but again, that assumes that somebody is actually explicitly trying to do damage.
Right.
And so far, as I say, this one and most of the other ones that we've seen have been more the work of teenage pranksters than mm-hmm. somebody who's really trying to create serious damage.
But we don't. This just came out Monday, so we don't know who actually did this yet, do we?
No, there seems to be a very vague link to some Chinese group, but they haven't really pinned it down specifically as to who it is.
But either way, whether it's Al-Qaeda or the Chinese, some Chinese terrorist group or the Red Army or whoever, it's terrorism, isn't it?
Well, it's terrorism. It's also just vandalism at this level.
Mm-hmm.
This is still relatively mild compared to what we're going to see sooner or later.
Right, yeah. Well said, Ed. Thank you for being here. Good job today. Ed Yorden, ladies and gentlemen, and that's Yorden.com, YORDON.com. Stand by. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.